representing at the Olympics is one of those things in that, that you're being the best you can be in your chosen profession. And even kayaking, I mean, it doesn't mean anything to anyone, but what it is it's another example of the journey towards whatever your Olympics is, whatever in your life it is, and whether it be, you know, the best mother, the best whatever sport or whatever vocation you decide, it's just humans being the best they can be.
That is Shelley Oates-Wilding. She's a two-time Olympic sprint kayaker for Team Australia, competed in 96 in Atlanta and 2000 in Sydney. Gives me chills. Your Olympics. So perfect. Your Olympics. That is why I love doing this. It's that idea that by watching these athletes every 2 years, all of us on the couch, quarterbacking, kayaking, Shelley's sport, or swimming, gymnastics, whatever, the idea that we all get a little strength from watching their strength and talent to get more motivated in our lives? Ugh, love it. Shelley is on the show today with her daughter, Collie Wilding. Shelley, as I said, is a two-time Olympian for Team Australia. She is now an American citizen and the USA canoe kayak coach. She'll be coaching Olympians and Paralympians this summer in Paris. Her daughter, Collie, is one of our best sprint kayakers. She's a junior at USC studying real estate, but she's already an expert in waterfront property, that is, sprint kayaking. She grew up in Hawaii, so yeah. Pretty good. Pretty good life there. Kayaking, Olympic family, moving on to USC, and now hoping for an Olympics. Things are good, but they can get better because she does have this huge dream of going to the Paris Olympics this summer. This is the Olympic mother-daughter story you did not know you needed. The love and the respect between these two as they pursue this Olympic dream is just off the charts.
And we get to travel so much together, so those experiences are crazy fun because, like, having a mother as a coach and a best friend and a travel buddy all in one is like the dream come true.
I finished the interviews with the two of them, and then I went on to spend about 15 minutes talking with Shelley about parenting. That might be her next big thing. She should be a parenting coach. She's just fantastic. So the interviews will be separate. You'll hear from Collie first, and then you'll hear from Shelley. We recorded them out at the U.S. Olympic Canoe Kayak Team Trials in Lake Natoma in March. If you listen closely, you will probably hear some geese in the background. They were very close by. Collie did go on to qualify in the K2 boat. That is the two-person kayak. She had hoped to qualify in the K1, the single kayak as well, but they had kind of crummy weather on race day and it got in the way. So in April, she is taking on the Continental Olympic Qualifier in Sarasota, Florida, and that will be the last step to officially qualify to be an Olympic athlete for Team USA in Paris. On this Dying to Ask, the little-known sport of sprint kayaking, it is growing. What it is like growing up with an Olympic athlete as a parent, what Shelley did to not push her sport on her kids, why Collie said she fell in love with kayaking anyways, how hard it is to pursue an Olympic dream in a sport where there's not a lot of money, not even NCAA funding for that sport. How do they manage that parent-coach-athlete connection without it getting toxic for themselves or, you know, weird for the other athletes? Now, it's easy to get cynical about sports, really easy. This episode, I think, is the opposite of that. This is why we love the competition. This is what happens when a family's legacy combines with sacrifice and a new generation of talent, all with an Aussie accent. I mean, this is everything, friends. Enjoy Collie Wilding and Shelley Oates-Wilding on Dying to Ask, The Road to Paris. Olympians. They're just different. Sure, they're fitter and faster, but they're mentally different too. Because when the body breaks down, the Olympic mindset takes over. I'm Deirdre Fitzpatrick, and I've traveled to 10 Olympics for Hearst Television with my partner, Mike Domalog. But Domi and I were home for the last two games because of the pandemic. But this summer, the Olympics are back in all their glory, and we're going to Paris. Fans in the stands, the full athlete experience, and it's Paris! Try the end. Join us for the backstories of how Team USA gets to the top of a podium and how you can add a little Olympic edge in your life. Well, welcome to Lake Natoma.
Thank you.
You have got such an awesome family backstory, but then you're also, your own personal story is really great too. The Olympics is something that, like, you've known about since you were a little girl because you have this family connection.
Yeah, I think I've known about it since I was very little, and I initially wanted to go in gymnastics, but eventually I fell in love with the sport that my family was already in love with, and since I got more serious about it, I've definitely wanted to go and share that experience with my mom and hopefully my brother as well. And yeah.
Yeah, your mom and I were chatting before you came out just about the fact that her first second Olympics, I guess, in her home country of Australia was the first one that my partner Mike Dominick and I had gone to.
Yeah.
And Australia loves all water things.
Definitely. Yeah, know? It's huge there. Like all of the water sports are definitely a big culture in Australia. For sure.
So what was that, knowing kind of like what your mom had done, I know that your parents made an effort to not push a sport on, which is really awesome. And so you, like you said, you had gone the gymnastics route. Do you remember when you started looking though over at kayak and going, well, that seems kind of fun?
Yeah, I had stopped doing gymnastics as I got a bit older, and I just kind of started doing it to keep fit, and like my friends were involved in water sports in Hawaii as well. So and then I started it, and I went to my first age group international competition, and the first chance I had to internationally travel and see the amazing athletes, just the standard was so much higher than I could have ever imagined, and I got absolutely booty whooped by the international competitors, but I loved it because I was so inspired by people my own age who were just so strong and so fit. So seeing that level made me realize I wanted to do this for sure. I was like, I had heard my mom talk about how amazing it is to meet international friends and travel with people from your country at the highest level of sport, but I never imagined how special it would be actually doing it myself.
So bringing it forward to 2024, you're a student at USC, and you're like one of our top ranked American kayakers right now. So heading into these last couple of months before Paris, where are you in terms of competition and qualifying?
So it'll be a big challenge to qualify, but here's the first step of if you can win in the K2 or the K1 here, then the chance to represent the U.S. at the Pan American Championships next month in Florida is the second chance continental qualifier to qualify for Paris in either the K1 or the K2. And so then if you can win there or get first or second in the K1, then you get the opportunity to race at the Paris Olympics. And so that's the main goal for us here, is first step to do our best here and hopefully get the spot to race at Pan Ams and then hopefully qualify the quota there.
And so for people who don't know, the number after the K refers to the number of athletes in the boat.
Yes, in the boat. Yes, sorry. So K1, one-person kayak, K2, two-person, and K4 is four-person, which will not be raced at this Pan Americans for qualification.
Okay, is it just me or is qualifying for every Olympic sport like needlessly complicated?
Oh my gosh. Not only is it hard, but it's so complicated to understand. Like, first of all, you have to be insanely talented, but then you also have to be smart to understand all the stuff.
So hard.
So but luckily we have coaches and we have people like making it more seamless for us to focus on what we need to focus on, because you don't only have to go fast, you have to go fast in the right boat at the right time. So
people are always surprised to find out that Olympic hopefuls don't pull a paycheck for all the work they put in just trying to get onto an Olympic team, nor do they once they make an Olympic team in this country. How difficult is it for people in your sport to be able to train at the level you need to and compete? Because it's not finance as an NCAA sport.
No.
And I mean, a lot of people sacrifice a lot to be able to represent Team USA.
Yeah, I think it's really impressive how many people are working full-time and part-time jobs, and then also there's people studying full-time or studying part-time, working part-time to make all this happen, as well as training full-time, obviously. So I think it is definitely a challenge to balance financial, because there's also costs of traveling. Sometimes things aren't subsidized or fully paid for, and so not only are you paying to live and not getting money for training, but you're also paying sometimes to travel and compete as well. So it's definitely tough. Luckily, we have some great opportunities for support sometimes from the USOPC. There's grants and stuff, but it would be amazing to see more financial support. Hopefully leading up to the 2028 Olympics, the sport might see more financial support.
So you're a junior at USC?
I am going into my junior year in the fall,
And taking a little bit of a break, I would assume, to try to
do the lead up?
Yeah, so I took this past year off and I spent time in Germany and in Australia.
Which is very common for Olympic athletes and Olympic hopefuls. You kind of have to almost.
Yeah, and it wasn't only about the Olympics, but also just because I really wanted to put everything into training and see how much better I could get. And I felt the passion then, so I was like, let's do it. And my mom was in support as my coach, as well as my mom, but as coach, she was definitely in support. And I did take a break, and some other people have also like taken lower class loads or taken some like time off work, and so but you still have to make it work a bit for financial reasons. People still have to work, so it's tough, but people are doing it, so it's really cool to see everyone.
Okay, tell me about your mom, because I mean I've just spent 20 minutes with her. She's a kick.
Yeah.
Your mom is funny.
Yeah, she's
maybe
she's
not
got
as funny to her kids, but I will tell you, to us, we were thoroughly entertained.
Yeah. So she is absolutely amazing. She does everything and anything, especially for this sport. So not only does she run her own Waterman's Academy and like training facility and environment over in Hawaii, but she's also the national team coach. And so aside from working at home, she is the national team kayak coach. So she takes care of the kayak women and men when we go abroad for competitions at the senior level, and also she helps out at the junior level, and she is just all about it. She went to the Olympics in 96 and 2000 for Australia, but now she's so proud to be an American because we are American citizens now, and she will stop at nothing until people can get their dreams made come true. People can make their dreams come true. And get a shot at, to represent the U.S. at the Olympics.
How do you guys navigate that parent-coach line? Or do you?
Well, we definitely do. We've had so many conversations about what's best for me and for her. And so often when we're at training, I call her coach. And when we're at home, I'll call her mom. And if I need to talk about something training-related, I'll be like, hey, Coach Shelley, can we talk about this session or this whatever, and we try to keep that boundary. It's not a stress, it's just to like make sure we know what environment we're in, and also for other people too. If I'm around calling her mom and talking about a boy I have a crush on, then no one wants to hear that at training. So we try to keep it a little bit separate, but I still love her as my mom even when we're at training. So sometimes like I definitely want to hug before I go out and race and like talk to my mom a bit. So it's really nice to have her behind the scenes as well, because you can't always have your parent at the course with you, and a lot of people don't get that, but it's so lucky that I get to have that
Looking ahead to Paris, I feel like the athletes who went to Tokyo, things were the way they had to be, but I've always felt that those athletes really got robbed of this experience of not only having the fans, but having their family be there. Do athletes talk about that now? Just because Paris is going to be on. I mean, it's going to be so amazing.
I do have a cousin who went to Tokyo who has just made the team for Paris, and I think it'll be a really special experience for her. Hopefully my mom will get to go and hopefully watch her, which would be amazing. And then also we have Nevin Harrison, who's the past Olympic gold medalist in the canoe sprint. And so hopefully her whole family will get to be there to watch her perform this coming Olympics. And I think that would just be, make it 10 times more special. Obviously she already got a gold medal, which is, couldn't be any more amazing, but it could be more amazing if you had your family there. So hopefully that'll be the cherry on top.
All right. Well, what are some good ways for people to keep up with you as you continue your journey?
I'm on Instagram, KaliWilding. And we have an Instagram for Ikaika Hawaii, as well as hopefully we'll be in media a little bit more. And we are online with ACA, so American Canoeing Association, should be where you can follow us.
First, can I just tell you, your daughter is lovely.
Thank you.
I mean, just what a great
kid. I'm honored to be her mother.
She's honored to be your daughter. I mean, it's like everything in a parent-child relationship. Mm-hmm. Now, keep in mind, I've known you for like 20 minutes. But
it feels like longer than that, doesn't it? Like with the journeys.
It is. It's just interesting. Yeah. You know, you guys have such an interesting dynamic, unlike most coach-athlete relationships heading into the Paris Games.
Yes. I don't know about others, to be honest. I do know about some.
I do. They're not like this.
Well, I think I'm truly exceptionally lucky, you know, to have this. And I also, you know, I went through a divorce when my kids were at high school, and I'm still involved with their dad. Mm-hmm. And actually, he's helping me with this part of the journey because he was a policeman and he started coaching me to the Olympic Games. And so now I now have a new husband who's extremely supportive of the whole thing too. So now we have a bigger group of people. But I think the important thing when you have a relationship like this is to let it happen, not make it happen, you know. And as I said before, it's challenging, but it's not challenging in a negative way. It's challenging in a, this is exciting, let's see how I can make this, how I can make them feel good and get their result, how I can make me feel appreciated. And so often I'll say, you know, I really expect you to clean up the kitchen. If you want to train at home and, you know, me support you, and, you know, and she'll go, fair enough, I get that, you know. And
that works for you, because I have tried stuff like that.
Well, but you know when you say that? Because it didn't work before, mm-hmm. because she would leave the house a pigsty, and she's like, but I thought you wanted me to be a good kayaker. And I was like, no, I want you to be a good person.
Yeah.
And then if you happen to be a good kayaker, so be it, but this is more important. And then she'd say, Mom, but I'm trying to finish school, I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to do yada yada, I don't have time to do my bedroom. So then we decided, okay, until you graduate, I'm going to close the door and I'm not going to worry about that, but the space that's for everybody, you must clean this kitchen, otherwise you're out.
You could be a parenting coach too, because I think
I'd love to
these,
do that.
These are actually the kinds of things I think a lot of parents of young athletes kind of struggle with, is that balance of how much do you push in the sport, and what are our priorities?
What are they?
And
they,
how do you triage what's important in our family life?
And also, when you're not an Olympian, I shouldn't say that because you're always Olympian once you're an Olympian, but after the Olympics, there was a 3-year period where super hard transition mentally, mm-hmm. emotionally, what am I doing with my life? Am I worth anything? You know, I used to give autographs. Now I'm just a normal person. How do I deal with that? How, I'm now a parent and all those things. So I think it's really important for parents of athletes who are trying to do that to realize it's their journey now. It's not your journey, you know, like, and even if a lot of parents who didn't make it to the Olympics want their kids to make it to the Olympics, but they didn't do it, you know. And I think it's you definitely have to find that love for yourself, whatever you are, mm-hmm. and so you don't have any, like, if Carly stopped tomorrow, I wouldn't mind at all. I really wouldn't. I would still love my life. She's got so many other things that make her happy that it has to be that way.
Yeah,
you know?
She's extraordinarily well-rounded.
She's very well-rounded. Yeah.
That said, it sure would be pretty awesome to be there together.
Oh, yeah. No. As I said, I always make sure that she knows that she could quit tomorrow, because there never needs to be that. And I really believe that.
Yeah.
In saying that, as we spoke about, goals are, I find that they're very inspirational. And just to be going, for me, the opening ceremony in all the gear is the deal, because when you represent your country, you feel 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Yeah. And when you get to put on the uniform, I'm now American, and to become American, it took me 10 years. I had to do all these extraordinary things to become an extraordinary alien. And I also did a lot of study on the Constitution and what it means to be American. And I had no idea about America being an experiment that was different to the country I came from in Australia. I loved representing Australia. I obviously am still Australian. But it is something special to walk in that opening ceremony and be there in the greatest show on earth, with every country knowing that every single human that's there has had this amazing story and amazing journey. I mean, it really is humbling to be part of it.
Well, the Sydney Olympics in 2000 was the first one that Dobby and I went to. Still one of the best. I mean, that was magic.
Yeah,
magic.
Well, I think so too. Obviously, I got to run the torch on the day of the opening ceremony. I got to run it in my own area on Manly Beach. I got to light a cauldron that was then the last cauldron that was lit before it went to the Opera House and then on to the opening ceremony. I'm getting goosebumps right now. That for me there was 100,000 people even on the roofs of all the area in Manly. And that for me was the culmination of a whole community of the Olympic torch journey from Athens on just humanity, you know. And I think that people underestimate physical challenges, and I think they don't realize that the drugs that you get, in other words, the hormones that are released from sport, the creativity, the knowledge, the everything that goes into an Olympic journey is way more not only inspiring but way more fulfilling than any career or any, you know, like, I just don't realize, I mean, I don't think people realize how special it is, you know.
I put her on the hook to say, I said, tell me something about your mom that I could ask her that might throw her. What she told me was that you're very goal oriented, very dream oriented, and I know that you have actually written down a goal that mm-hmm. involves her and this summer and you.
Mm. Yeah, yes, I did. To actually coach my own daughter at the Olympic Games, I always had this goal of 3 Olympics. I mean, I have everything in my life planned out when I say planned out, some things that I'd really like to make happen, you know, like I definitely feel very lucky that I've got a husband for 20 years and now I've got a new husband, and I think family for me is very important, and I think I've been able to navigate that whole thing where everybody's happy, and I think that's really important. I think that having things that inspire you and things that you're passionate about are very, I mean, you know, we're all on this journey, we're all going to die. If you have something that you're passionate about, it gives you that whole fulfillment and happiness of life and achieving things. So I always have goals for that purpose, and you know, I just think that I'm surprised she didn't tell you about going to Mars, because
that's on the list.
Yeah, it's on the list, and I definitely want to be part of that whole next step for humanity.
And the short-term goal, though, is to go together to Paris.
Yes, exactly. So that's part of it, that for this year, I didn't expect to be going to Paris with my daughter yet, and so it came together because she made it happen, and so that's obviously the goal now. There's a lot of steps along the way that still have to happen. I think she's ready for it, and we're excited to go on that pathway.
Well, it's been great getting to meet your family, and I will tell you that the best thing I came out of the Sydney Olympics with was the Australian cheer. Will you join me in it?
Absolutely.
All right.
Aussie, Aussie, Aussie! Oi, oi, oi!
Thanks for listening. You can find our podcast, Dying to Ask, The Road to Paris, wherever podcasts are found. We're hearing from athletes and experts ahead of the games.